all want to thank Max and everyone else, all of our sponsors, for arranging this. Absolutely wonderful, and it's good to be out again. So good seeing a lot of you folks. Also, I want to apologize. Due to a terrible schedule conflict, I do have to leave tomorrow. So I might be here early in the morning, but otherwise I have to fly back to France. So sorry about that. I won't be here for the entire thing. This is going to be a Karina status update. In short, modern object-oriented programming is coming to the Perl language. For those of you not familiar with me, Curtis Poe, better known as Ovid, company is allaroundtheworld.fr. And you can also go out to ovid.github.io, which is my personal site. No, I didn't register a domain name. I took something free, but sue me. People always ask about that. As I go through this, some of you might have some questions about stuff. I'm going to ask you to hold your questions to the end just to make sure that we can stay on time, with the exception that if I say something that you just do not understand, that I virtually guarantee someone else is not going to understand that either. So go ahead and hold up your hand and interrupt me and say, please clarify that, because it means as a speaker I have failed to get something across. But otherwise, please hold your questions to the end. But I'm going to do something a little bit unusual for this talk. I want to dedicate it to some folks, and particularly the Karina Project. I want to dedicate it to three extremely important members of the Perl community. Most of you are familiar with David Adler and Jeff Gaugh. They've been around for years. They are sadly no longer with us. They were friends of mine, wonderful people. You're probably not familiar with Sparky, I'm going to guess. I doubt anyone here knows him or even knows his real name. I met him decades ago at uni. We didn't have classes together, but we would meet in the cafeteria. And he was one of those people who you would meet him and you'd offer an opinion about something and he would say, why do you believe that? And he wasn't being mean. He just wanted to know. He was this like cheerful Buddha type guy. Why do you believe what you believe? And then you would answer, why do you believe that? Where did you get that information? And he was like kind of like a five-year-old cheerful Buddha. Why? 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 And then eventually you'd make the mistake of saying something, and he'd be listening and say, wait a minute, a while ago you said X, and now it sounds like you're saying Y. And he would catch you. And I've seen people get up and leave the table in disgust when he would do this. He wasn't trying to be mean. This was often, he was doing this about stuff that he would often agree with the people. He agreed with their basic premise about their philosophy or politics or economics, but he wanted to know why people. And he was such a wonderful person. And the reason why, to me, he's one of the most important people in the Perl community is he's the man who taught me Perl. Sadly, he had a stroke recently and passed away, and I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. There's a lot more I could say about him. He's a wonderful man. He was a wonderful man. But so that's who this project, I think about them, these people, my friends. Godspeed, wherever you are. What is Karina? That's probably one of the first things most people want to know. This is not going to be a tutorial on Karina, just to be clear. I'm not going to be going into too much of the background about what Karina does and how it does it, though. We'll cover some of that. If you want to know a little bit more, you can go out to github.com/ovid/core, C-O-R, and that's the full RFC for the Karina project, even though what we're actually going to be introducing isn't going to be quite that extensive. But just to give you some of the philosophy which has driven this, some of the motivations behind the Karina project. First, you can go out to your favorite search engine, type in the Lisp curse. Doesn't matter which search engine, this is going to be the top link. And they talk about, for example, C is so difficult to work with. If you want to create an OO system for C, you need someone like Bjarne Strassrup, or however you pronounce his name, to create C++. You get one choice, pretty much. Well, there's Objective-C, which everyone laughs at and kind of dead. But we're going to paraphrase it for the Perl curse. Reading off slides is generally frowned upon, but I'm going to do it in this case. Since making Perl object systems is not hard, many Perl hackers have done so. More to the point, many individual Perl hackers have done so. Programs written by individual hackers tend to follow a scratch and itch model, and I think plenty of you have seen this from time to time. And they tend to solve many of the problems, but not all of them. And why do they do this? Why are so many people writing their own OO systems in Perl? Because that's what you get for Perl. You have bless, and you have the is array. That's the entire support in the darn language for object-oriented programming. That's all. What do they do? Well, bless says, hey, we have methods, basically. And isa tells us how to find the methods. Except that's a lie. Those are subroutines, not methods. They're subroutines with a really funky calling syntax, but Perl can't tell the difference between a subroutine and a method. That's a problem. And core OOPerl today, just having bless and isa, that's kind of like the assembly language of programming. You've got to wire everything together yourself. So this is a very simple class. It's not a very interesting class. It's a name class. You have a name and you have an optional title, and you have to manually wire together constructor. You have to manually write accessors, and then you've got the actual public name method, which is available. And what it does is this. My name, Ovid, or, you know, doctor, name new, title, doctor, name who. So if you print name, here you get Ovid, here you get Doctor Who, gives you the optional title. Very simple. People say, why don't you give more realistic examples in your talks? Have you tried to fit a realistic example on a slide so that people can read it? So deal with it. Yeah. So that is Core Perl. That's Core Perl OO. And there's all sorts of bugs lurking in that. Here's what it looks like in Carina. It's very simple. Class name, we have two fields we define. Param means that it's required in the constructor. Having that postfix block with an undef value means it's optional in the constructor. And then you've got your name method. That's a little bit simpler to write, a lot easier to write. But it's more than that, because you may not have noticed this in the original Perl code. Subtitle, tilta. What is that? Obviously, that's a mistake. That is a mistake which is not only going to cause your code to not function properly, you're not even going to get together, and it's a frustration. With something like moose, because it kind of tries to hide that, you might get a runtime error if you're lucky. In Carina, that's a compile time error. More than just a warning. There's a lot of opportunities for compile time errors on real, actual mistakes that you make. And again, why did we do this? 80 plus OO systems on the CPAN. That's for the ones on the CPAN. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into clients and they have their own homegrown steaming pile of ones and zeros and all the bugs that are going with this. It's very frustrating. So this is a mess. And trying to tell people, you know, pick an OO system, install it via the CPAN, and no, don't pick that one. And okay, well, yeah, you can pick that one, but here are the caveats. It's a mess. We don't want to do this anymore. But you'll notice that I highlighted Dios and Zydeco. Why did I do that? So here's Dios by Damian Conway. Class identity is trackable, blah, blah, blah. You can see this is heavily influenced by Raku. He's trying to bring modern OO to Perl. And it's brilliant stuff. It's very interesting. There's Zydeco by Toby Inkster, which is also brilliant. You can see it's heavily influenced by Moose. And again, it's really interesting. Some of the syntax is a little strange. But, you know, some of the syntax for Dios. But the question is, why did I highlight those? They're extremely powerful. And part of the reason they're powerful is they didn't try and limit themselves to current Perl syntax. They said, we can do better. We can go further. And I think that's extremely important. I'll cover more of that. Here's an example of a more fully featured class in Carina. This is a least recently used cache. This is a caching strategy I won't go into right now. It's fairly simple, fairly straightforward. It's not terribly complex. But this isn't a tutorial on Carina. Instead, it's to give you a status update. And to give you a status update, you might be curious, and people have asked, no, how did you get here? How did this thing come about? So let's talk about that for a moment. So for my work, I've been sponsored by a company I work for, all around the world, .fr. And there are times I should be doing other work for them, and they've been okay with me doing design work for Carina, following up with people, trying to push us forward. Paul Evans, the person who's doing the actual implementation, he has multiple sponsors, Edgar and Partner, Paul Verein Schweitz, Deriv, Anonymous. And they have been so excited about the work that he's doing implementing a test bed for Karina that they're happy to pay him to actually make this happen. And we have a large team behind Karina. This is only a small subset of some of the people been involved. By first name, myself, Damian Conway, Dan Book, Graham Knopp, Carl Jorg, Matt Trout, Paul Evans, Sawyer, Stephen Little. There's a lot of heavyweights in there who've been doing this sort of work for a long time, who said, we like Karina, we want to make this happen. But modern OO, where the Moose Moo family of OO libraries has mostly won out for OO today for various reasons. And that started back in 2006 when Stephen Little released Moose 1.1, and it was 4 years before he finally got it to the 1.0 status. Because it turns out it's really hard to do. So it took him a long time. But Stephen has been doing a lot of work in a lot of different languages and saw what a lot of other languages offered, and they often offer stuff better. And he was frustrated, and he decided in 2017 to release Moxie out of a lot of work. And what he was trying to do is saying, okay, we know P5P is not going to accept Moose or Moo into the core. What can I do to make the simplest, purest thing which really follows Perl that we can slip into core? And then it didn't go anywhere for various reasons. Stephen's been working on trying to get core OO for Perl for a long time. He has other things going on in his life, and I decided, okay, someone has to pick up the ball and run with it. So in 2019, I started working on Karina at the time. I called it core for various reasons. And then shortly after that, I met Sawyer at the Riga Perl conference. And that changed everything. It changed for the better dramatically. I was very happy about that. A couple of months later, I made the first public announcement and helping with the design while we were fleshing it out. But Moxie, what is Moxie? This is a basic point class, XY point class, and Moxie. And using just pure Perl, not trying to do anything fancy, very lightweight, very fast, and ugly. When I saw Moxie, I understood what he was trying to do and why he was trying to do it, but this is still, to me, this is bad. I don't want to limit his Perl. But what he's trying to do with his HasX and HasY, he's trying to say, okay, here are the called slots, the state data that we capture for the object. And he had the slots and the exposure, optional exposure of the slots, completely separated. He wanted to decouple those, which was, to me, a brilliant design decision. Unfortunately, you'll notice it's still a blessed hash ref, so we don't get the encapsulation that we want. I didn't like this. I didn't like the syntax. I didn't like the fact that encapsulation is too easily violated there, because I fix that in too many companies, and it causes a lot of bugs. Here's the same thing in Karina. I think most of you would agree this is a little bit easier to read. It's a lot easier to write. And because it's mostly declarative, a lot less chance for bugs. And because it's declarative, if you write it wrong, you get a compile time failure, which is great. And how I got here, actually, so what my initial idea was is, okay, I've got keyword declare. I'm going to go ahead and try and write my own object system, complete with the test suite. My idea was, okay, if I'm going to bring a modern OO to the Perl core, what I want to do is I want to have a full test suite. I want to show them a working implementation, and I'm going to say, okay, here's my stub implementation. It works. I've got the test suite. All you need to do is make the test suite pass. And I couldn't get the test suite to pass. And I was frustrated. I was dealing with a problem with multiple inheritance where, even though I was using C3, it was missing some stuff. By the way, Karina is single inheritance, not multiple. And this unfortunately got lost when a pipe burst in our house. I hadn't pushed this to GitHub or anything, and my laptop was sitting on the floor. It got flooded. But in 2019, I'm at Riga, and Sawyer comes by. He sees me hacking away and asks me what's going on. And I start telling him. And he says, no, don't do that. Don't design, don't implement anything. Design something great. And that changed everything, because what I didn't feel, I was limiting myself to what I thought I could actually implement with keyword declare. I didn't realize how much I was doing that. I didn't realize how much I was tying myself into the Moose model of building things. And when I finally got past that, I got something a lot better. And this is kind of like an early version of Karina. And it's terrible in many ways. I won't go into too much about that, but you'll notice has cache, has max size, et cetera. That looks very much like Moose with a little bit of sugar on top. And it had a cleaner syntax. Self was a keyword now. You didn't have to supply it to the methods, and methods and subroutines aren't the same thing. I made a lot of bad design decisions in my first iteration, which is okay. This happens for a project this big. And Paul was arguing for lexical variables for state, and I thought people were going to reject that. I'd considered that because that's kind of what Raku does. And Paul was like, no. We want to go ahead and do that. And oh, my goodness, he was right. So once again, coming back to modern Karina, this is what it looks like. You can see now we have field cache, field max size. A lot of this is a lot cleaner, and I'm going to go into that a little bit more. But in case you're wondering, here's the same thing in Moose. I had to shrink the font size down, and it takes longer to write. It's not as clear. As part of this process of building this out, now if you're in sales, if you know anything about sales, one of the things you know is you do not bring up objections to a customer who hasn't brought them up, because you introduce doubt into their minds. But I'm going to mention them here because a lot of people are bringing objections to me. They're a small subset of the community so far. The feedback's been overwhelmingly positive, but there have been a few objections that I want to address now, just so if you hear them, you'll understand them. And they're not that big of a deal, I think. Less is good enough for me. I do hear that one a lot, mostly by people who have been with the Perl community for a long, long time. And that's fine. We're not taking less away. We're not breaking the language. And sometimes you want less. Sometimes it's exactly what you want, if for no other reason than backwards compatibility. I might add, one of the things Paul's going to be doing is writing a syntax keyword class, which hopefully will bring Karina back to 5.16 with an optional module. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. But backwards compatibility, bless, it's there. Don't worry about it. We're not taking it away. Moose 1 should be in core. there's a lot of stuff about that. But, you know, the authors, Stephen Little and Matt Trout, they're not arguing for this. And P5P has said no. I think the fact that P5P said no should end that debate. But for some reason, it hasn't. But they're hobbled by the current limitations of Perl. And we don't want to do that. We want to be able to dream big. We want to be able to think big so we can turn Perl into a more modern language. Some limitations we have with Perl that you should be aware of. Methods and subroutines, they're the same thing in the current version. And that does cause a number of issues. Classes and packages are the same thing. We don't have native state, composition, delegation. There's all sorts of problems with the current limitations of Perl that you as a programmer, because you only get bless, and you only get isa, you got to do everything else yourself and hope you get it right, and you probably won't, because it's very, very easy to get it wrong, because OO is more complicated than people think, unfortunately. But this one has annoyed me. Same ideas, different syntax. If you want different ideas, you can go with Dr. Alan Kay's idea of object-oriented programming, which is extreme late binding, message passing, and isolation instead of encapsulation. And I thought about stuff like that. So service-oriented architectures can often implement something like that, closer to modern OO. But this would be so alien to Perl programmers, you ain't going to go there. And it's just not going to happen, and I'm not going to cover that right now. But same ideas, different syntax. So we have been covering this for years. The RFC is out there. But it's big, it's complicated, and I'll try it again, and I'm just going to use a subset of some of the things. So first of all, some of the background on this. This is based on decades of personal object-oriented programming experience. Lots and lots of books read, articles read, papers read, It's supported by Stephen Little, Matt Trapp, Damian Conway, all of whom have extensive experience, not just using OO, but also designing OO systems, which is important to keep in mind. And as much as possible, I'm trying to create a Perlish version of object-oriented programming, so I can stay true to our roots, but there's still a little bit more we've got to do. And it's also been subject to two DMC takedown notices from an OnlyFans artist named Karina, who invites you to watch her play with her in the shower. It's amazing some of the hoops I've had to jump through to get this far. So, let me try and explain this again. So, it's not same ideas, different syntax. I'm going to put this up on SlideShare because I know you're not going to be able to copy this link down right now, but Chris Brather, better known as Peregrine, and an email to the P5P mailing list where he was trying to stop someone else who was saying we need to build from the ground up, not the top down. Brilliant, brilliant TED Talk of an email to P5P explaining the problems with the bottom up, because you can't get from here to there. It doesn't work that way. To me, I like to think of it as not being topologically equivalent. You can't twist and turn what we have to get there. And basically, Perl, it doesn't offer a lot of solutions that we need. The only solution it offers to reusable behavior for OO is inheritance. Everything else you got to figure out yourself. So let's take a look at Karina a little bit closer here. Reusable behavior. We've got native composition right there. Field cache defaults to hash ordered new. Because it doesn't have a colon param, you cannot set it from the outside. So we can call exists, deletes, key, shift. That's just kind of built into that. It just magically works. But note that cache is a state variable. We have native state for the first time, no OOP. So we can go further and realize that because nothing outside of the class can directly access your $cache variable, we have native encapsulation in OOP, all from one design choice, one simple design choice of making state declared with a lexical variable. We have state encapsulation composition from one simple design choice. Wide-ranging impact there. This is not same ideas, different syntax. This is completely different from what Perl offers us today and well beyond what many of the other OO systems available on the CPAN offers. So here's part of the cache LRU implemented in Moose. Of course, self-cache, that's misspelled. That's going to be a runtime failure. So when you get called at 2 o'clock in the morning because a batch job has failed because you misspelled a method name or whatever, that's kind of frustrating. Karina, that's a compile time failure. And I can't stress that enough, how wonderful it is to know that we can start getting compile time failures for things that the program, Perl, should be able to detect. Not you as a programmer having to remember to do all of that. We also don't expose anything by default anymore. So if you have a background in security, you know that allow lists are a lot safer than deny lists. So deny list says, okay, we're not going to allow that, we're not going to allow that, we're not going to allow that. And then a new standard comes out for, say, HTML, and we have new tags available, and you didn't disallow them. Instead, you state what you allow. So in Moose and Moo, it's very hard to not expose state by default. So right now, you have to specify a reader if you want to be able to read this from outside the class. You have to remember to allow it to be exposed. This makes it easier to keep your class contract smaller. Or this. A lot of people don't know about this. In Moose and Moo, any attribute you define can be passed to the constructor. So even if the constructor wanted to say, I want this to have this value, you can say, forget it. I don't care about encapsulation. I'm going to set the value, and then you break things. And you have to remember to pass init arg undef to the attribute definition. A lot of people don't even know about that, I've discovered. I'm sure most of you do, but a lot of people at the clients I know, they don't do this. And you have to remember to say, I don't want this. It's a deny list. In Karina, colon param. So that's a parameter to the constructor. You have to explicitly say, allow this in the constructor. And then you try and construct the object, and you didn't do that, it will blow up. So nice and safe. Much, much better way of going about it. And methods are not subroutines. Oh my God. So look at this, use some module. We import a set function, method set, and we can call set. That doesn't call the method, that calls the function. Methods and subroutines are different in Karina. And this is important for a whole bunch of different reasons, such as if you didn't have a set method and you call some class can set, it should return false because set is a subroutine and not a method. A lot of safety. Namespace autoclean dies. It's not needed here. This might not actually make it to the first version of Karenic, because we're building something a little bit smaller right now, but that's part of the future plans for this. This is the most valid argument, I think. Debugging encapsulated objects. So languages like Java, which have much better encapsulation than what Perl offers by default, they're used to, you know, firing up the debugger and debugging things. They're not as worried about this. But we're kind of spoiled. We can call data dumper on an object and we can see the state. Just pray that you didn't call that on a DBX class object and watch hundreds of lines scroll past in your debugger. So this is going to be a problem, but the encapsulation, the MOP will allow encapsulation violation. MOP is the meta object protocol, and that's going to be part of the release. And it's going to be harder to violate encapsulation, which means in a code review, it's going to stand out quickly. You're not going to worry, did someone call customer name or customer curly name, close curly? Because that's kind of easy to miss in a 500 line code review. Encapsulation violation will be much easier to catch, much safer. And there's a lot of tools which are going to have to be updated to handle this. But the reality is, Karina is a lot simpler than people think it is. Much simpler. And the reason it's simpler, to be honest, is Damien Conway. I'm sure most of you folks know him. He went over the entire RFC for Karina multiple times, and then he noticed a pattern, which he pointed out, which we weren't always keeping. Basically, the idea is something I call KIM syntax, keyword identifier modifier. So you have class name, then you have some attributes which might modify the behavior of the class, and then the definition. And by rewriting the entire syntax to follow this, it turns out Karina comes down to just four keywords. Just four. Class, role, field, and method. And I'm sure all of you know what those are. It's not complicated. Fairly straightforward. He writes a little bit about this. Blogspearl.org, just go out and find Damien's blog. He's got several articles about this. He's really bullish on the project. And because it's simple, we're going to have a use feature class guard. And this is all lexically scoped, so it won't infect the rest of your program. So if you use these keywords as names elsewhere, it's not going to break anything. And just do Perl.f class, role, field, method. And it's straightforward. What about all the other behavior? Well, those are done with modifiers. So my class, if it inherits from another class, you just state isa. That's going to be inside the Perl.f class documentation. So it's going to be easy to find all of the information you need about how to use Karina. But what I really like about Karina, January 16th, the RFC was accepted by the Perl Steering Council. Modern OOP is officially coming to Perl. Thank you. This is the biggest change to the Perl programming language since the, well, late 1900s, to be honest. There are caveats, however. It's not completely accepted, so instead, we're producing what I call not an MVP, but an MMVP, a minimal viable product. The idea is to have something smaller, safer to test. We don't want the pseudo hash debacle coming back to bite us. I don't know how many of you folks remember pseudo hashes. They were not, in my opinion, a great idea because they decided to overload the meaning of what an array was. First element of an array was a hash ref, and everything fell to pieces. It's like, wait, I've got an array of hash refs. Why am I getting pseudo hash warnings? What's going on? Anyway, we're going to try and avoid that mistake. It's going to be coming in stages. And even though I'm the lead designer on the project, it's Paul who's going to be doing most of the work to implement this. He's already got it in ObjectPad. If you go out to the CPAN now and play with ObjectPad, companies are using ObjectPad in production. That's how powerful it is. They're finding it roughly the same speed as, say, And that's even though Moo's been around for a long time and was designed to be lightweight and fast, ObjectPad really hasn't had any performance improvements. He hasn't done any work for the performance. He's just trying to implement the behavior. So later on, as we come by to speed it up, that's going to be tremendous. They have discovered, one company reported a 10% reduction in CPU usage when they switched to ObjectPad. So that's pretty nice. And that's without optimizing anything. So fantastic. The MMVP, what's going to happen? It's going to start with classes. And initially, you won't even be able to set the value of the fields, but it's very small steps. Classes, then we move on to inheritance, roles, a few other things. It's a 7-step process until we get the initial first version out there, which, you know, hopefully people will be appreciating that. And again, it is going to be single inheritance. Sorry, I know some folks don't like that. Multiple inheritance, there are so many ways that can go wrong. I'm not even going to cover that right now. But one nice thing, which we found out in March, is Paul has a sponsor to cover his initial Carina work, and the very first stage should be landing in the 5.3.7 dev cycle. So now that we've gotten the design out of the way, the movement on it is really taking off. I'm very happy about that. But you're probably wondering, when? We don't have a time frame. This is so important to get right that we do not want to make promises that it's going to be delivered by X date. I'm not going to be like Elon Musk and, you know, miss that date by miles. Instead, it's important that we get it correct. So we're going to be taking this in small steps, moving forward, writing a lot of tests, making sure that it's exactly what we really need. And this is after years of design work by a large team, deep experience here. So we're fairly confident in what we initially had. And this is the part of my talk where I usually say, would you like questions or bonus slides? Bonus slides, yeah. Every time. This is a question a lot of folks ask. What about types? We have type constraints in Moose and Moo. We have user-defined type constraints. They're very powerful. You can create subsets like you can in Rocket. There's a little bit more work to do, but it's available for you. And why doesn't Carina have this? This has been a huge frustration for me. Early work did have types, and the entire design team said, yes, we absolutely want types. No, you can't have it. And that's because, unfortunately, we need types in variable declarations, field declarations, subroutine arguments. It covers the entire span of the language. And my initial work with types actually kind of conflicted with some of the type work that David Mitchell was looking at for signatures. So right off the bat, I can't roll out a type system which is going to conflict with what the rest of the language is doing. This has to be unified across the language to make sure it's done right. And we've got to get Carina out there first to make sure that that's stable, because you don't want to try and bolt types onto an unstable system. So, and then there's a lot of questions about types. So types, for example, some people are arguing you should only use the built-in types that your computer naturally understands, like, you know, int, float, jar, etc. Those are great for the computer, and they're fantastic for performance. From a business standpoint, they're not as useful. I want user-defined types, like a customer object, because I don't care if you pass me an int, but if, you know, for like the ID of a customer object, if I have a customer object, I want to know I can use it correctly. So there are some discussions about that. I'm pretty sure the user-defined types with type constraints is what's actually going to win, but we don't know. So we don't get types. I've talked about immutable objects quite a number of times. One of the nice things about Carina is it makes it trivial to make your objects immutable by default. And why are immutable objects useful? So imagine you have a customer object. Customer has a birth date, and there are certain things they can legally do on your website if they're of a certain age. So you pass customer object here, 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 and here, and that's passed by reference. And then this decides to make a decision based upon the age of the customer, and they're in a particular code path, and over here, they've just read some more data from the database, and they found out, oh, our customer date is, birth date is incorrect, so they have unset it. So now we're in an invalid code path over here, but it doesn't know. That's part of the problem with mutable state. There's a lot of things going on there, which I'm not going to go into right now, but basically, because objects are passed by reference everywhere, you get this crazy action at a distance. If something else changes that reference, and now your code, what's the state? Sometimes, though, you want mutable state. You can create an immutable cache. Basically, whenever you change the cache, instead of mutating the state, you instantiate a new cache object, which has the correct state that you want. Caches are supposed to be fast. So sometimes mutable state is a win. So you don't always want immutable objects, but they're powerful. And for this little name class, the silly class I had to begin with, this is immutable. So why am I talking about immutable classes and types? Because here's something you can do with Karina. I've been thinking about this for a while. So you create your own type class. This is how we use the tools from Type Standard. There's a lot more you can do with this. I won't go into it right now. Package our types. Less boilerplate is a private module that I've written. I'm not releasing it on the CPAN because it's only for me. Basically, there's a whole bunch of stuff that does behind the scenes to make my Perl a lot more modern. You can pronounce that as use less boilerplate or useless boilerplate. Both are correct. And then type library base, type utils, I won't go into that. Basically, this gives you everything you want. Not everything you want, but a lot of what you want. One-stop shopping for building your own custom type constraints. And in this immutable class, use our types, and then we import the functions that we need, the two types, and then compile. And then in the adjust block, which is kind of the Moose, the Karina version of Moose's build, we state check compile non-empty string, maybe non-empty string because title, remember that was optional. And then we check name title, that will throw an exception if those don't match the type. So if you have an immutable object, it's actually fairly kind of easy to test types there. It's still hardwiring stuff together that I don't want to do, but you can do it. It is possible. Mutable types, it is. Mutable objects, it's obviously much harder to do. You can do it. I have thoughts on that, but it's ugly. So eventually we're going to need types in Karina. We're not going to get this. And that is really the end of that. Does anyone have any questions about this so far? Yes. You can do arrays and hashes as fields, but you can't attach attributes to them. So the question is, why can't you use arrays and hashes as fields? So you'll see you've got field $name, field $title. Because this wasn't a tutorial, there's a lot of stuff that I left out. You can say field at items, field, you know, percent, you know, hash, and you're allowed to do that, but you cannot attach the modifiers, the attributes to them. Because in Perl, unlike in Raku, those flatten into lists. And when they flatten into lists, that makes it very difficult if you want to, say, attach parameters or readers and stuff like that. There's a lot of semantic questions which come up with that. And yes, you can do that. They're going to be internal to the class, but you can't attach the attributes. Maybe this will change in the future, but there were so many design problems with that that we punted on that and said, no, you cannot do that. Does that answer your question? I know, it's probably not the answer most people want. I don't blame you, but that's where we are. Are there any other questions? Oh, the question is, what is your current idea of a timeline? And I have no ideas there, seriously, because we want to, it's been 3 years, you know, for the Karina work, obviously many years of predecessor work in front of that. We don't want to make a promise on that because we need to make sure that we get this right. And we don't want to have artificial pressure on ourselves to meet a deadline and then push things out at the last moment. Those are still going to happen if we're like really, really close to finishing it. And then there's a new major release of Perl coming up. We're going to be putting the pressure on ourselves, but we can't promise anything like that because we are going to hit bugs. We are going to hit things that we did not expect. Right now, you know, like Java allows you in a parent class to define a method as abstract, and in a subclass to define that method as private. That doesn't map to the Karina model, because privacy in Karina is different from privacy in Java, and you can't do that. So now for an abstract method, which is just a forward declaration, I can have an abstract method which is trusted, Java protected, or, you know, public, but not private. So we've got to build in special cases for that. That's kind of ugly, so I need to start thinking about that, even though that's not going to make it in the initial version. So actually, that's a problem. So there's all sorts of tricky edge cases out there that we've managed to, you don't see it. You don't see it in the RFC, but there's a huge amount of stuff that we've managed to simplify. Like one of the things I did is I wrote a program which printed out all combinations of the possible modifiers you could have for a field so I could check to see if any of them conflicted. And that really helped quite a bit. Now it's very hard to declare a field with an illegal combination of modifiers. So there's a lot of work in that design, and sometimes it's writing software to validate the design, and sometimes just a human going through and reading the output. Does that make sense? So it's hard. I can't promise a timeline. I apologize for that. How much time do I have left, by the way? Okay. One last question, if anyone has anything. I'm sorry? Yes, signatures are built in. You'll notice for this particular signature, we don't have anything, but basically for methods, you won't have to pass $self. It will simply be available inside of a method. However, if you have a colon common modifier after this, then what's gonna happen there, that's before this, I always forget. That basically makes it a class method, so you'll have $class injected into that. In fact, it should be for an instance method that will have $class and $self automatically injected in that. So you'll have the signatures available, but you won't have to type in the $class or $self for that. So that's going to simplify some stuff. That also makes it very interesting. If you define a method as common, which means it's a class method, not an instance method, and you try and reference $self inside of that, in Perl today, there's a good chance it's going to be a runtime error, depending on how you do it. For Carina, that will be a compile time error if you try to use a class method as an instance method. So again, more compile time error failures. Thank you for reminding me about that. And I think that's all we have time for. If anyone wants to ask more about this, please stop me afterwards. Happy to chat about it. But that is where we are. Modern OOP is coming to Perl, and thank you very much for taking the time to listen.